It's the Ruckus number 20.
Ruckus listeners, today, Rachel and I give you a gift, possibly the most important gift you will ever receive in your life.
Wow.
We're going to tell you today how to get into heaven.
That's quite a gift.
It is quite a gift. And we will give you multiple interpretations of how to get to heaven and multiple heavens.
You pick your flavor.
You pick your own flavor. So on today's episode of The Ruckus, we are going to observe the many beliefs of the different religious systems, how to get to heaven, and what heaven is like.
It's like the Cold Stone Creamery of heaven. You go in, you pick your flavor, you pick your mix-ins, and then there's the whole Cold Stone thing, because that's like the slab.
Well, as we're going to learn today, some heavens are like that, or some religions are like that.
Yes.
You get to go up to the slab and pick the gummy bears if you want the gummy bears. There are, of course, other religions who are strictly like, oh no, if you pick strawberry cheesecake ice cream, you may not have gummy bears.
That's right.
Said he from on high unto thee. So, all right, welcome to the show. I'm Justin.
I'm Rachel.
Welcome to The Ruckus. Here's how we roll. Let's hit some news.
All right, I'm going to start first. So, Justin, when you're going through the fridge or you're going through your cabinet of canned goods and you see that you're a year past the best buy date, we'll say it's in the canned food area. What do? Do you eat it?
Depends on what it is.
Really?
If it's something like green beans, don't sound like I'd be crazy about them anyway in the first place coming out of the can. That thing's a year past. There's no fucking way I'm opening that can. I'm just going to toss it.
What if it's like turkey chili? And you got your hot dogs and your buns all ready to go.
And it was a year past the best buy date?
Yeah, yeah.
Turkey chili is a tough one, but I think that if I was really hungry, I'd ignore the best buy date.
I go for the smell test. I always smell it, and if it smells rancid, I don't eat it.
Well, yeah. I guess, you know, there's certain kinds of microbes and bacteria that you probably can smell, so that might work.
I go with the instinctive approach. Yeah. Well, this is news out of Portland, Oregon, actually. Experts say most foods past the best buy date are okay to eat.
By how far, though?
Well, it depends upon what it is, but interestingly enough, did you know that the FDA only requires an expiration date on infant formula and baby food?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not a federal regulation. Like, it's a suggestion. There's the best if used by, there's the better if used by. I'm sure you've seen these, the sell by dates, the use by dates, and then there's your expiration date.
Yeah.
Those are all manufacturer suggestions.
Oh, that's cool.
For it to be fresh or for it to be like its best flavor or whatever.
I think the best buy date on canned foods is usually pretty far out, too.
Food experts say even eggs are okay to eat up to 5 weeks past the date of packaging.
Oh, see, but that's not a year.
No, I know. I was just getting us all juiced up.
So if it was canned eggs, definitely I would not.
Yeah, no,
eat.
Maybe not the canned eggs.
Unless they were pickled. I think that if you pickle an egg, it can last longer.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a preservative, the vinegar.
Is there an email on there where we can write to them and say, what about pickled eggs, sir?
No, there isn't, but the expert is named. Hello, expert, where are you? Dr. Diane Stadler of Oregon Health and Science University. Here's something I didn't know, actually, that our refrigerators are actually not cold enough to keep raw meat, so you should use it or freeze it within 2 days, always.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've eaten meat that's been in my fridge for like a week.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think I have, too. You know, but that didn't happen until I started living with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I only used the fridge to thaw out the meat.
Oh, that's
I picked up this horrible habit from you.
Well, we buy it and then we eat something else.
Yeah.
We don't eat it that night.
You know, back in the day before our paths crossed, I was eating my food before the best buy date. I was freezing my meat. I was doing everything right in the world.
Well, I don't see how it's my fault that it changed. But here's the thing that I disagree with. I disagree with what they say about the milk still, you can still drink that. Because I tell you what, when my milk is in the fridge and it's after the Best Buy date, it starts to look like it's all separated. Like if you look at the milk, you can see it's kind of watery mm-hmm. in places, and it starts to smell funny.
How long do they say on milk for that?
Let me just see. It just says milk will also last longer than the labeling suggests, but
yeah, a minute longer.
Oh, wait, you can purchase milk and it can be on the sell-by date, but it still may have good quality and be safe to consume, maybe, within 7 to 10 days of purchasing that product.
You know who's putting out that article right there?
The milk people.
No.
Who?
The government.
The grocery people.
No, because we're in this recession and they want people to not freak out about it. So they're putting out news articles that are like, it's all right. You can eat your canned food. You've got canned food. You don't need a job. You could eat that stuff for a year later.
I don't know. I don't believe the government's doing that. No. Maybe the grocery stores are doing it because, you know, yeah. they don't want to throw away food.
As a matter of fact, eating it past the Best Buy date, that's actually the secret cure to AIDS.
Well, you know what people do with the milk is, like, you know, say it's July 10th and you walk in and the milk's lined up and it says sell by July 10th. People yeah. will push those aside and reach to the back where they just loaded up milk that says sell by July 14th. Mm-hmm. And then the sell by July 10th shit, the grocery store's got to throw away if it's July 11th.
So you think it's the grocery stores?
I do.
That are doing
yes,
this?
Yes, I do.
You didn't even acknowledge my funny joke about the AIDS cure, the secret AIDS cure, but...
You know what? I must have been not listening to you.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Well. I'm so sorry.
It was hilarious.
I was jumping to my next thought.
Well, I've got a news article.
Okay.
It concerns a recent joke that just got thrown out and died. Recent okay. joke thrown out dies age of 13 seconds. Mourners gather all around the world today as Justin's hilarious AIDS joke went out on the table right in front of Rachel, ripe for the picking, and Rachel refused to acknowledge it. This comes from Reuters. Reuters? I never know how to say that.
Reuters just sounds cuter.
Yeah, it comes from Reuters.
I like to imagine them like their pigs are rooting around in the dirt for the news.
Oh, that's cool. Those okay, Reuters. You want me to give you the real news article?
Oh, man, I know. I love the one you were telling. Who cares about the real one?
Yeah, actually, the real one isn't that great, but I'll go ahead and tell you what it is anyway. I'll give you a little clue here. I'll give you the headline.
Okay.
Okay, we'll play a little game. Guess the news article.
Okay.
With this fake wife, I divorce thee.
I'm divorcing you with my fake wife?
With this fake wife, I divorce thee.
What happened?
This happened in Kolkata, India. Kolkata? Is that the
same
as Kolkata?
Oh, the guy's like, I can't stay married to you. I'm already married. But this woman's not really my wife, but I'm just paying her to act like she's my wife.
No.
Okay.
An Indian man who took an impersonator to court to get a divorce faces legal action after his real wife found out, lawyers said on Friday. Sanjeev Saha presented a woman as his wife in a lower court in the eastern city of Kolkata this month. Both said they sought a mutual divorce, something the court granted immediately. Saha's real wife was then asked to leave the marital home. She has since appealed the ruling at a higher court, charged her husband with cheating, and the original divorce was suspended. The case exposed the legal loopholes in our system, Kashik Chanda, lawyer of Saha's real wife, said.
I tell you, that's a creative way to get rid of that woman.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what probably happened is he was probably cheating on her, probably with this other chick.
Well, yeah.
He was cheating on her, and he knew the divorce was coming, and in their system, if the guy is cheating, then he stands to lose a lot more. So if he goes into the court and pretends that they're both mutually dissolving the marriage, then he doesn't face any kind of repercussions.
Yeah, that's very creative.
Yeah. And apparently it exposes a major loophole, like
yes.
asking for identification or something. Maybe it wasn't written in.
Well, this is India. There are a lot of people to proceed through the courts. A lot of people with problems. Well, my news story takes us back to the good old days. Ah, the good old years when we lived in Long Beach. Do you know what happened in Long Beach, California over this last weekend?
What was last weekend?
The third weekend of July.
Anything significant about that?
No, nothing. No big events happening in Long Beach aside from...
From the news that you have.
Aside from this news, which is that the city logged 5 shootings and a beating and several armed robberies
oh
in the course
God.
Of 2 days in Long Beach. Which, I mean, I know Long Beach has got a reputation, you know, thanks to the likes of Snoop Dogg and Nicolas Cage and Cameron Diaz, you know, as being kind of scummy. But even that's a lot for Long Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's got to maintain that reputation, you know. It's getting lots of street cred right now. So is it five different people and then three different people? It's all different people shooting and beating?
The shootings look like they're different people. Oh, by the way, not a single person has been arrested in any of this. So yay, Long Beach Police Department. The shootings all seem to be gang related for the most part, and the beating does too. They seem to be different people. There's different descriptions. But the armed robberies seem to be three guys in the same car going around and trying to rob somebody all in the course of like a day and a half or a day or something.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's what we left behind.
I never felt like we were in danger being in Long Beach or unsafe or anything like that. Did you?
No, for the most part, I never did. Do you think that it's the economy?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
Desperate people go to desperate measures, man.
There seems to have been more scary crime in the last 3 or 4 months there than there were in the last year.
I like what you're doing, too. You really went for the Portland news and then the Long Beach news. You're really tying in the old with the new.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't plan it that way, actually. But you sure are making me sound like I'm real spiffy.
Well, I'll go ahead. Yeah, we could go ahead and edit it back in where you're like, yeah, I planned it that way.
I am the genius.
Speaking of Portland and Long Beach, back from Portland to Long Beach, we have long-distance happy birthday dedications going to our good friend, Hearts and Laser Beams.
A.K.A. Steph Calvert.
So, yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Are we going to sing happy birthday?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear.
Steph Calvert.
Happy birthday to you.
You gestured to me to let me know it was my turn to sing. I was totally not even looking up. I was still thinking, like, man, we just sang happy birthday on the last episode.
We did. To who? Oh,
to Andrew Bird.
Andrew Bird, of course.
But it's like, this is a happy birthday podcast now?
Well,
let's
not be so harsh about it. It's just joyful.
Well, I'm not being harsh about it. I'm just saying somebody could listen to a compilation of every episode of The Ruckus, pick out their name and send it to their friend and be like, we'll start naming them that way. Like episode 21 will be happy birthday to Jonathan.
If you're satanic, do you know what your number one holiday of the year is?
Your birthday.
Your birthday.
Oh, you know,
I know. Because you make yourself
a
god.
Yeah, I know. Okay. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Court rules that lesbians are not just from Lesbos.
Lesbos is a place?
Lesbos is a place. It's an island.
I'm glad the court ruled on that one. Yeah. I was concerned.
Female homosexuals are also now still legally allowed to be lesbians. Lesbos is an island near Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And it is where a very famous poet came from, a poetess. She wrote a lot about love. I guess this is like some of the earliest recorded lesbian sightings on the planet. I don't even know how to phrase it properly because, like, I'm sure, you know, lesbianism has been happening as long as there's been more than one woman on the planet.
I agree.
But they say that the birthplace of lesbianism basically is Lesbos because the people from Lesbos are called lesbians.
Right, and they've got probably that written evidence, too. It always goes back to what you can find in writing when you come to archaeology.
Yeah, so apparently some of the residents don't like that all gay women are called lesbians. I guess there's a lot of straight lesbians on Lesbos.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So there's lesbians who are not lesbians that don't like that lesbians are called lesbians.
Well, now it's all been straightened out in the court of law.
Yes, exactly. So we're all very happy to say that lesbians and lesbians alike, you're both now free to be known as lesbians.
And semantically, it can mean a many a thing, mm-hmm. not simply that you like to go down on women.
Exactly. So that's all I got for news.
That's fun news. I like that.
So for our next, for our musical guest today, it's going to be somebody that Rachel picked for a change.
I got to pick, and that's why it's so much fun.
All right, so go ahead and tell the people about your wonderful find, your wonderful musical discovery.
Well, folks, get ready to shake your booties, shake it back and forth to Von Eva, and the song is called either L.A. or La La. We're not entirely sure, but you're going to shake your booty anyway. You can't help it. It's a song like that. And here it is. Steve and Justin couldn't resist. He couldn't hold his butt still while we listened to Von Eva, L.A. L.A. or La La from the album Our Own Island.
I gotta give it up, Rachel. That was a fucking excellent song.
Didn't it sound like a stripper song, kind of?
Oh, yeah.
I hope that the artist would appreciate me saying that, because we've just recently visited the Devil's Point here in Portland, one of many fine strip bars.
No, that would be a great song for
and
a stripper
it would be
to
brilliant.
Strip to.
It's yeah. got the beat, and it's got the...
She kind of has like an Annie Lennox quality to her voice, too.
Yeah, she does. She has a nice voice.
Good choice.
Oh, and you can visit them at VonEva.com.
All right.
You know what's hard to say?
What's that?
Our Own Island.
Our Own Island.
Our Own Island.
Our Own Island.
Say it just like you're having no trouble with it.
Our Own Island.
Our Own Island.
Yeah, see?
Oh, okay.
You're trying to space out the words too much.
I was just looking at it and reading it, and I'm like, Our Own Island. But when you just say it, it's like, oh, yeah, of course. Our Own Island.
Well, there you have it.
There it is.
Let's go ahead and hit up our topic then. Was there anything that you wanted to discuss? It looked like you were gearing us towards talking about the strip joint.
How can we not, though?
Well, what's there to say, really? There was like four strippers. They all took off their clothes.
Well, we found out, first of all, remember we talked about how we're Portland hot because nobody here seems to be as good looking as they are in LA?
Yeah.
We discovered that night that no... Those people are working in bars because all the hot women were in that bar, either behind the bar as bartenders or stripping.
Yeah, I got to say that even in L.A., the strippers were not as hot as Mm-mm. the ones that we saw here in Portland.
Yeah, they were gorgeous. Gorgeous women.
There were only four of them, and they kind of had more of a punk rock aesthetic here than they do in L.A.
They were. They were a lot like Suicide Girls. They kind of had that feel to them.
Nothing not to like about that.
I know, right?
Lovely, lovely young ladies.
Mm-hmm. They had spunk.
I'm assuming that's what the last, like, that back room was for. It's where they get their spunk level adjusted.
I did not realize a double entendre when I said that, but that's pretty funny.
Our topic today, as promised at the top of the show,
yes,
we are going to tell you how to get into heaven. Mm-hmm. But first, before you decide how to get into heaven, you kind of have to decide what you believe about heaven. That's kind of your first choice, right? Or is it just what you believe about the afterlife?
Well, I think that they're tied in together, wouldn't you say, Justin? Your belief about the afterlife and your belief about heaven.
Is that what you think people pick a religion based on?
Maybe some people.
Yeah.
People got a lot of different kinds of needs.
Right, right.
Some people like their ice cream vanilla. Some people like their ice cream vanilla with the ground bits of vanilla bean in there.
It always comes back to ice cream with you.
Their French vanilla. Well, I thought it was such a great metaphor for what we're talking about.
It is. Life is a lot like ice cream.
Yep.
Mama always said, life is like a bunch of ice cream. You never know what you're going to get. Now that we've given you the possible different method of choosing religion, let's give you some options here. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's stop fucking talking around it there, Nancy, and let's fucking dance.
All right.
So your first option, and I'm not saying first because like this is your number one choice. I'm just saying an option mm-hmm. is Hinduism.
Yes.
That is an option on a different way you can get to heaven. Let me tell you what I know about Hinduism.
Okay, let's hear it.
Big in India.
Oh, big. Very
Lots
big.
Of people there are Hindu. And reincarnation and karma, that's the big belief of the Hindu religion. Mm-hmm. And basically what happens is you get born over and over again, and each time is kind of a different attempt to improve your karma.
Now, I thought that Hinduism was really a word that Westerners used to describe the fact that in India there's a pantheon of religions that are sort of all intertwined with one another. But really, they wouldn't call themselves Hindu. Like, they would call themselves whatever.
Well, I'm kind of giving you the broad strokes on this. So
yeah, like,
this
and I think those things that you're talking about are all pretty much consistent anyway. So you're right.
Yeah, so like you can reincarnate up or down, depending on like what kind of life you had, if you're good or bad or whatever. The highest form of rebirth is human beings. So this is the highest form of rebirth that you can get to.
Now, oh, gracious.
In between lifetimes, you can go to different places. There's Svarga, which is heaven, or Naraka, which is hell.
Like, I thought that we were the highest form of reincarnation, but there's also heaven and hell.
Okay. Humans are the highest form of rebirth.
Okay.
So reincarnation can happen.
You can't now, reincarnate any better than us.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, there are times when you go into heaven, and there are times when you go into hell.
And that
happens in between lifetimes.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, so if you had a good life, you get to do your layover in heaven. Otherwise, you have to go to hell, and it's like the hell that we kind of know of where, you know, they whip you and boil you and dismember you. And
the lake of fire.
They're basically not very nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to actually get off of the life cycle, to be liberated from the life cycle. And there's four ways to get there, and they're known as the yoga. So there's karma yoga, which is selflessly doing what is expected of you. Bhakti yoga, which is cultivating a love for God through religious practice. Jnana yoga, coming to truly understand that the body is temporary and illusory while the soul is eternal. And Raja yoga, purifying your mind through meditation. So there's four different ways that you can escape the life cycle. And they don't have a description of what it's like once you get off of the life cycle. They don't describe what heaven is like.
You never come back. How could you tell anybody?
They merely say that it's pretty much well believed that you will be in the presence of God, or you will be very much like a god when you escape the life cycle.
So they're like, popular opinion among the people who haven't gotten there yet is it'll be like this.
Yeah,
isn't
I guess, because they don't really... But that's kind of like the thing with religion in a lot of ways. It's a lot of it is popular opinion, decided this or that. That's what Protestantism is about. It's like, you're allowed to interpret the Bible whatever way you want, as long as you're adhering to the Holy Bible.
I have a description from someone who tried to scientifically put together what heaven is like based upon what the Bible says.
Oh, let's hear about it.
Want to hear about it?
Yeah.
Okay. What Will Heaven Be Like by Rich Deem. On the eighth day, God will create again, this time an entirely new universe. This new universe will have entirely different physical laws. Here are some of the differences that stand out in bullet point PowerPoint fashion. The new Earth will have no sea. There will be no sun or moon. Gravity will be absent or greatly reduced. No more death, suffering, pain. Believers will receive a new body. The characteristics of the new creation tell us that it will be vastly different from what we're used to on Earth. Probably most noticeable difference will be the lack of gravity. The new Jerusalem is described as a 1,500-mile cube. Structures of this size would automatically become a sphere in this universe because of gravity. Therefore, gravity will be absent or significantly reduced. Must be, because it's a cube. I lost you, didn't I?
They really believe this in Christianity? Or, like, this guy's kind of looking at the Bible and taking everything literally?
He's looking at the Bible, taking it literally, and then scientifically deducing what heaven's going to be like, which is really, really fun. Okay, this is great. The lack of sun is not a problem for the new creation, since the Bible tells us that the glory of God himself will provide illumination. The illumination provided by God is probably not the same kind of electromagnetic radiation that we call light. The illumination provided by God certainly involves the wisdom and knowledge that he possesses. With this kind of light, there would be no need to visually see things, since this would severely restrict our ability to see everything as God sees them. There will be no oceans, which means there will be no water cycle. It would be difficult for a water cycle to operate without gravity. There will be the river of the water of life, which flows from the throne of God. Given its source, it seems likely it may not be liquid water as we know it.
This guy's a nerd.
He's awesome! He's absolutely fucking crazy.
Where did he pick up all of his passages? I just so happen to
have... It's all cited.
You know what? I happen to have a passage right here, sir, for you.
Okay, cool.
When I was doing my research... No, this is from the Bible, from King James Holy Bible, 1 Corinthians. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. So it says right there in the Bible, nobody can imagine what heaven is like.
Well, I'm sure somewhere else in the Bible it starts to tell you exactly what it's like, though. You know how the Bible is.
Yeah.
It always contradicts itself. This is fun, though. Who will be in heaven with God? The angels will be there and have been there since God created them. The Bible gives several lists of people who will not be in heaven. A summary of the activities that keep out the people of heaven is listed in the table below. It's a table! Isn't that awesome?
Did you find, like, all religious pie charts and bullet point, like, PowerPoint?
This is the same guy.
Oh,
this
awesome.
This is what he wants to do. He wants to take the Bible and put it into a pie chart. That's what he's
wonderful.
Trying to do, PowerPoint presentation.
Do you think this guy is being serious, or is he...
No, he's totally serious, honey.
You don't think he's just kind of, like, making fun of it a little
bit? No, he's deep into it. His site's... You look on the left, and there's, like, 10,000 links about God. Like, he's
That's
making
awesome.
Sense of it all. You know?
That is awesome.
Swindling, by the way. If you swindle, not going to heaven. Sorcery, sorry. Orgies, fits of rage, you're not going to heaven.
I can't believe this guy must have so meticulously studied the Bible to, like, this must be so important to him, to his life.
We're all screwed, really. We're not getting there. If you look at this list... We're all in trouble.
So we will definitely have to link to this guy so everybody can read it for themselves.
Oh, yes.
Because I can see that there's a lot more charts and bullet points than what you outlined
for us here
today. It continues.
Yeah, the first life and the second life and the first death and the second death are all well charted out for you.
Delightful. So shall I continue now?
Please do.
Okay. I'd have no idea what to even begin speaking to this guy. Okay, so I'm going to move from Hinduism and from Christianity. I moved into Buddhism next.
Okay.
The Buddhist is like the Hindu in a lot of ways.
They are similar.
But there are differences.
Okay.
There's no deities in Buddhism.
Right.
There is only enlightenment. And anybody can achieve enlightenment and become a Buddha. And there's been more than one.
Yes.
And they have their ways of getting to enlightenment, which is called the Four Noble Truths. And they also have the Eightfold Path, which I think is like the Fourth Noble Truth.
So what's heaven to them?
This is the cool part.
All right, here we go.
There's not really heaven. It's nirvana. Again, you're trying to get off the cycle of life, right?
All right, yes. The life-death-life cycle, yes.
Exactly. And you're trying to get to nirvana, is what they call it. And that's the highest level of enlightenment. Nirvana is a state of eternal peace, free from longing or any other form of attachment. It's a state of total liberation. That's the most that I've gotten a description on it.
Well, I like it so far.
However, along the way,
yeah,
there are six possible afterlives that you can experience.
Oh.
Okay? And this, again, is a huge generalization because there are other places that give you as many as like 33 afterlives. But there's six main ones. There's a best heaven. Just the way you want it to be. Everything is perfect. Everything is just whatever you imagine heaven is like. That's what best heaven is.
Oh, that's nice.
And apparently what happens is you spend up karma. Like you stay in best heaven using up the karma that you achieved in life. So everything, all your good karma is spent.
You burn it like fuel.
In best heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with best heaven is you can't reach nirvana from that level of existence.
Mm. Even if your best heaven is nirvana.
No, nirvana is something different. You go away from, this is still part of the life cycle. Best heaven is still part of that. So you're there for however long, like 4,000 years or whatever. You can't reach enlightenment because to reach enlightenment, you have to have suffering. And you have to have pleasure. And best heaven, everything's great. There's nothing to meditate on. So, you know, you get everything you want. Below that is the second heaven realm. It's a lower one. And this is where everything is almost perfect. But you just want a little bit. You want something. And that desire is what keeps it at second heaven level. In best heaven, there is no desire.
Cool.
So even second heaven, pretty good.
Where's boring heaven?
That is number three, the human realm. That's where we are right now. I don't know if I have to describe it to you.
That's like the Wrist Cutters, where you kill yourself, and then where you go next is just where you came from. Just what you're trying to get away from. Fuck you. You thought you were escaping this? Guess what? You get more.
Yeah, you're back on the human realm.
Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, yeah, you don't reincarnate up or down. You stay on the human realm because apparently you were good enough to stay human, but not quite good enough to advance up to a heaven. You have to work a little harder on your karma and on your meditations and, you know, just your lack of desire. The lack of desire thing is a big deal with the Buddhists.
Mm.
So that's the human realm.
Human realm's like a C+.
It's passing.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what gets you a fail grade. Or this
is your C-.
This is not what gets you a fail grade, but here's the fail grade realms.
Okay.
The animal realm. So an animal might not have ever been a human. It could have been any one of these other realms that we're going to talk about. But the animal realm is where your animals live right now. Now, because the animal realm is just about like sex and food and survival and stuff like that, it's hard to advance up from the animal realm.
I can see that.
So
you don't really want to go there. You'd totally be stuck.
It's easy to get stuck there. Now, but if an animal comes into contact with the Dharma, sees a Buddhist temple, or smells incense burning, they get a Dharma root, which kind of helps them into enlightenment.
My God, let's burn some incense. I want the cats to reincarnate as people next
time.
That's
what they say you should do on this website that I was reading about. Wow. The Buddhist heavens. They're like, you should pray for your cats and dogs and you should give them these experiences so that those souls can advance.
Aww, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind becoming a cat in the next life. I'm not going to lie to you. It's one of my guilty pleasures. Great to be a cat.
Yeah, I would love to be a cat too, but I mean, I hope I was a cat who was owned by cool people that were willing to advance me to the next level again at some point.
That's a good point.
Otherwise, you get stuck there, you know? You cannot. The human realm is the only place where you can get it to enlightenment. Below the animal realm, level, we'll call this level 2, because level 6 would be the top, right? Level 2? Level 2, furniture. Level 2 is the Hungry Ghost Realm.
Oh, the Hungry Ghosts. Yes, I've heard about them.
And he is, well, what you would be. You actually are the Hungry Ghost.
Mm-hmm, I know.
And so you're like this great big giant thing with a little tiny itty bitty pinhole mouth.
Yes.
And sometimes it's a stomach with a little pinhole mouth. Like, that's how it's depicted. But essentially, you're just a giant blob that's always hungry and you can never be satiated.
Lots of need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's why they call it the Hungry Ghost Realm. And every one of these realms, too, is all about, you know, spending karma. So you'll be in that realm for as long as you have negative karma.
Wow. That makes me feel better now for all the people who've ever done anything bad to me.
Is that they're going to end up in the Hungry Ghost
Realm? Yeah,
I'm
totally satiated. Like, I no longer need to do anything bad to them. Get them back or, you know, feel like the universe is out of balance, you know? It's like, it's going to be okay.
They're going to
have the pinhole mouth.
If you believe in any of these religions, yeah, those people are pretty well taken care of.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
The lowest realm is the hell realm. Uh-huh. And that's the worst place with the most suffering. And you are given, right here, let me read the passage from this website that I typed out. It says, you are given little hell bodies when you enter. Then one day you might be walking through a forest when all the leaves on a tree turn into razor blades and fall, cutting you into a million pieces. You cry out in pain and your hell body resurrects so you can be killed over and over again.
Yeah, that sounds like you know, the devil's hell too.
Yeah,
exactly. Where you're tortured and all that.
And the only way to get out of the hell realm is to burn through the karma that put you there.
Wow. Well, sounds awful, especially when you hate pain and you love joy, as people do.
Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot like that, Scientologists.
Oh, yay. I was hoping you'd go there.
Were you?
Yeah.
They believe every person has an undying soul, which they call a thetan or a thetan, right? And that's it's exactly like Buddhism in that way. And they have an enlightened being. You can become enlightened, and that it would be called an operating thetan or an operating thetan. I don't know which pronunciation is correct. But what Scientology says that's different than Buddhism is that ultimate truth is different for every single person.
Uh-huh, yes.
Or the same. It could be either.
So Buddhism doesn't say that?
I think Buddhism has a pretty good idea of what enlightenment means, and it means to be free of desire.
Oh, okay, okay, I got you now. And for
Scientology, you decide, maybe not decide, but you figure out what your ultimate truth is. Your
it
ultimate
could be,
truth might
it could
not
be a
have
a pool
any...
full of shaved gerbils, and that's okay.
Possibly,
yes.
Yeah.
But the Buddhist would say, no, sorry, try again.
Yeah, the gerbils are not it.
No.
But if you're a Scientologist, you could say, are the gerbils it? So you get to decide whatever. I keep saying that, but you don't get to decide. It's not about deciding. It's about knowing. So you can reach a level of enlightenment where you figure out what your truth is. Now, they don't talk about what heaven is like in the afterlife because that is also different for everybody. You choose or you create what your afterlife experience is going to be.
So very creative.
You can go wherever you want or you can come back to Earth as an enlightened being. You create your own afterlife as a Scientologist. And I don't think I said anything in there that's going to get the secret Scientologist army to come after me. Like,
no, I was going to say, you really sold it. Like, I'm like contemplating it now, except for all the scary things I've read on the internet.
Well, you know, whenever I read things like that, especially about Scientology, it just seems incredibly ignorant to me. Like, it sounds incredibly ignorant. And the fact that this is a religion where one of their beliefs is to keep their beliefs secure or to keep them close to them, you know, not to release their beliefs into the general public. The fact that they're set up that way makes them a target for attack all the time. And people just don't know. Like, who do you know that's had experience with the Scientologist?
That's true.
Everything that you know about it comes from, like, to me, those all read like conspiracy theories. And I'm not saying that Scientology is necessarily like a great religion or it's a religion that people should choose. Or I'm not even saying that what's out there might not be legitimate, some of it, or accurate, some of it. All I'm saying is that most of what I hear about Scientology comes from somebody who sounds completely ignorant of what it's actually about to me.
Well, the head honcho, top of the line Scientologist guy did an interview with a news anchorman publicly about Scientology for that reason, because they don't release information and people can go ahead and just punch them around and all that. But I read that interview and I don't know.
What do you mean?
It sounds like the guy's kind of crazy.
That's possible.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
Y'all can read it for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, just saying that guy's crazy. I mean, if you're not a part of the religion, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people who think that Joe Smith was a crazy person. That's the Mormon guy, right? Joe Smith?
Oh, I guess. Yeah,
Joseph
I don't know.
Smith? Yeah.
Sounds right.
Or whatever, you know, there's plenty of Jews who probably think that Jesus Christ was a crazy person.
Right.
You know, or there's the Muslims who believe that, you know, nobody's quite figured out the prophecies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, they believe that God came along and we took down all these rules and that wasn't quite good enough. So other prophets kept coming along. Jesus came along and he refined the rules kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final prophet came along and that was Muhammad.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, Christians, you're a little bit closer to where you should be. And Jews, you still need to take a couple steps.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you the final steps to actually get the rest of the way to heaven.
Ah.
So they believe in Islam that every one of these... thank you. Every one of these prophets is just building on the previous one and you're getting...
All very logical.
The actual instructions.
Totally logical. Something you can get behind.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
In Islam, their heaven is called Jannah. J-A-N-N-A. jhana. The best way to get there is by living in submission to the will of God. And that's basically, you know, being a religious person. And I think they're the ones who have the five pillars of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to believe that there's only one God. You have to believe that Muhammad is a prophet. You have to pray 5 times every day. You have to take care of the poor and needy. You have to participate in fasts. And you have to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. And cool. That's how you get in good with God. There's a fast track, too. You don't have to do that if you're a martyr.
Oh,
so nice. Martyrs get to go straight to the head of the line.
Cool.
But eventually, everybody's going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets to go to heaven in this religion. There's two possible, like, you get to be in the grave and aware and conscious until Judgment Day.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now,
sounds a little dull, but
yeah, well, you get to watch the people who visit your grave and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
So if you were a good person, it's not necessarily described as a pleasant experience, but it's not something that you will not enjoy.
Okay.
And if you're a bad person,
it won't be too bad if you're a good
you
person.
You get the pain of the grave. Like you feel your body decompose and you feel confined in the grave. So,
oh my.
So yeah, that sounds pretty bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but either way, when Judgment Day comes along, off you go.
Do you know what the Wiccans think that heaven is like?
I think that they're real into nature, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe it's
pagans,
like a garden.
Wiccans.
I don't really know.
Well, you're very close. They call it the Summerland. Yes, it is a meeting ground where we can reflect on the life we have just led. See if we have learned the lesson we intended to learn, and then try again in due course. So the Summerland is where you go in between lives, because the Wiccans believe that you can have multiple lives. Or if you're done with all of your lives, you can just hang out in Summerland forever.
You get to choose?
Yeah, their deity will let them come into there forever. So you're either temporarily staying there in between and ponder what happened and then ponder your plans for the next time and how you're going to do it, even though when you are born into the next time, you have no idea about any of this that's happened before.
See, a lot of these religions, here's what's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are dangerous because, let's say, you're born as a Hindu,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
and then you die, and then you come back. You did average. You got a C. Okay, so you come back, but this time you come back as a Jew.
Mm.
Well, now you're way off the path.
Yeah, you got to find your way back to being Hindu again,
right?
Or maybe that's why you did okay. Maybe you need to come back and be Muslim and do much better.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. It's in Summerland, must tell you very quickly what it's like there.
Okay.
It's often envisaged as a place of beauty and peace, where everything people hold close to their hearts is preserved in its fullest beauty for eternity. And it is envisioned as containing wide fields of rolling green hills and lush grass.
Wow.
I think I went there once in a dream.
Really?
I was on top of a green llama.
So are you saying that you believe that you are in tune with the Wiccans? You believe in Summerland?
No, but I'm reading about Summerland. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that place.
Oh, what do you think that is? You think that's like you're part of the unconscious?
The collective unconscious.
They're all picking on the same thing?
If there's one thing I believe in, it would be the collective unconscious.
And what is that?
That's that there's this pool of ideas that we are all been exposed to, or we've all got access to, that's the source of our ideas and creativity and all that.
Are you familiar with a religion called Zoroastrianism?
The Zoroastrians.
Zoroastrianism.
Yes, they're pre-Buddhists.
They're like one of the oldest religions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pre-Hindu, pre-Buddhist in that, and they come from that region.
Right. Well, they believed in one God,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of are very similar to Christianity and Catholicism and Judaism. but kind of predate all of those.
Uh-huh.
And they have a virgin birth. They have a prophecy about a virgin birth,
mm-hmm.
being the savior of the world, all of this stuff. So there's this very, very old religion where you cannot join, even if you wanted to. You have to be born in. There's no passage into it. And there's still people who practice it.
No shit. I thought it had died.
No, there's still people who practice it, but the numbers are kind of dwindling.
Yeah.
And it's like the collective unconscious, or it's like, because they had the same stories as some of these other religions, where it's like, you know how like all these religions come out and you kind of see a lot of similarities, mm-hmm. between one and the other.
Yes.
So yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of gardens in heavens and
it's
afterlives.
True. Yes.
A lot of them believe in growth and things like that.
We like nature. We're attracted to nature.
Well, I think it's what, like, if you're a religious person, nature is the place that you can look at as evidence of God. You know, like that's, mm-hmm. that's where you can really see life happening.
Yeah, it's where everything seems very miraculous. Have you heard about the native New Zealanders?
Which, like the Aborigines, is that what they are?
They have the Maori. The Maori people. They're Aborigines, but they're called the Maori people.
I think I've heard a little bit about them.
They believe in the Dreamtime.
What's that?
The Dreamtime is a very old place that is still happening. And it's sort of like a parallel universe that you visit every time you dream. And it's the real reality. It's the real place. Like, and what we live here in life every day is not. And when you die, you go back to join the Dreamtime, where everything comes from that's really happening.
That's cool.
I know. It kind of like blows your mind a little bit.
You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that when you die, you're waiting for the judgment day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like waking up from a very long nap, or it's like waking up from rest.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I've come across a lot of this waking up as a metaphor for finding a new perception of how life should go, or the enlightenment, or
mm-hmm.
a spiritual bliss, or, you know, moving up the ladder of awareness, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Let's call it waking up.
Okay.
I think we've all agreed to that.
Okay.
Do you want to know what the Jewish people believe?
Yes, and then I will have maxed out my capacity to comprehend the many heavens. Do you want to end with that then, or do you want to pick somebody else?
Oh no, we can go with the Jews.
Okay,
then that could be it. I think people kind of already understand like Christianity and Catholicism. People
yes.
who have grown up here in the United States. If you're not a Christian or a Catholic, I'm sure you've been exposed to them.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to talk, but I do want to tell you just real quick, to become a Catholic, there's a lot involved in terms of like having to go to take classes. You have to take classes. You have to be baptized. You have to, do your Holy Communion. You've got to do a lot. And to stay, and even once you do convert,
mm-hmm.
you have to keep doing stuff to stay on the path. You know, like you have to attend church, you have to confess your sins, you have to do a lot of things. It's not enough to just accept Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, like Protestant,
mm-hmm.
then accepting Jesus Christ is enough a lot of the time.
That's why the Catholics always feel guilty.
Oh, yeah, because they have to repent constantly.
Yeah, there's stuff they haven't done yet.
That's why all the Catholics in history, like in the Da Vinci Code, that dude who was whipping himself,
totally.
Like they always used to do shit like that. Like knights, the Crusaders would go out, and if they had been, I think they did this anyway, one of the penances that they would pay, they would have to wear a hair shirt underneath their regular clothes or their armor or whatever. So, and which would just be itchy and uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's pretty,
Yeah.
Weirdos.
Yeah, exactly. Compared to the ones where you can come back as, like, different things, like, who would choose that religion?
I know.
Assuming it's a choice.
Some people like structure.
Yeah, right.
Lots of structure.
Catholics are good at call centers. All right, so let me tell you about
Catholics Jewish... invented the PowerPoint.
You think so?
I don't know.
Probably. Jewish people are kind of really into structure too, I think. Like, you know, staying kosher and all that stuff.
Oh, I don't know. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, they read the Torah, which is their religious book. And but there's also another book called the Talmud, which is all of these Jewish scholars. They're Jewish scholars who have interpreted the Torah.
Yes.
Because the Torah does not mention heaven.
Mm.
But in the Talmud, they talk about the world to come, which is called Olam Haba. And there is a heaven called Gan Eden, which is like the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a hell called Gehinnom. I don't know. I don't want to do like a Jewish impression because I don't think I could do one very well, but you can kind of imagine how that's supposed to sound. Gehinnom?
Oh, I don't know.
Gehinnom.
Maybe a yeah. Gehinnom.
I can't do that.
I don't know.
Here, I'll do geh, and then you do the and then I'm in.
Okay.
Gehinnom. I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Okay.
Whatever we do when we do die, it is very important how you live your life here, if you are Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, you know, you got to,
You got to know when to hold them.
Well, you got to follow all the rules. You got to
know when to fold them. I didn't know. I bet you Jews love that song. When to walk away.
Because of the rules? That's not a good way to play poker. That's either, by the way.
That song is a metaphor for religion. It has nothing to do with poker at all.
Well, most, you gotta imagine, like, if you know, the cowboy is like a mythical character.
Oh, that's not, that's another show. That's definitely a show with special guests.
Well, I'm just saying that we won't get into that right now.
Not right now.
But, you know, that song is totally instructional about religion. but according to the Talmud, the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden, it is the combined pleasures of the Sabbath, sex, and a sunny day.
Oh, somebody's got to write a song about that, don't you think?
Sabbath, sex, and a sunny day.
Yeah.
Is every day with you. So yeah, that sounds pretty nice, actually.
You know, they all sound pretty good.
I like it if it's just a little bit overcast, though. Like I would want that feeling, like a little bit overcast but still warm.
Frankly, I think the Christian heaven sounds the least exciting. I don't want to do it. Boring.
Why? What is the Christian heaven like that it makes you not want to go there?
You know, it's illuminated by God's wisdom, and you got no pain, no suffering, and there's no gravity. Remember what homeboy said there? You should remember all that? Boring.
Yeah, well,
people won't be mean to you there.
A lot of these kind of sound like that's what it's about when you get to the heaven level.
Yeah,
or if
I guess
you get
so.
To heaven, it's a lot of them are about, you know, freedom from suffering.
I guess so.
When you are a Jew.
Mm-hmm. When you are a Jew,
you can end up in Gehinnom.
You can end up in Gehinnom.
That was good. Most people have a layover there. Most people have a layover there.
Can you say L'chaim?
No.
Shminum.
So you end up in hell for a little while.
Okay.
Most people do.
Okay.
And then you get to go to heaven.
Oh, okay.
At the end of it. You basically, it's kind of like the karma thing. You pay it off for however evil you were. And if there's people of any of these religions that are just like, what the fuck are you talking about? You've got it way off. Please let me know. Because, like, this is all, like, poorly researched by me. So, when you go to, when you die, you can go hang out in hell for a little while, and then you go back to heaven. Oh, another thing about that, too, though, I'm sorry, is your family can pray for you and speed up your hell time.
Oh, that's good. So have a lot of kids.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure they love you.
That's also important.
Don't slap them around. You want them to be able to pray.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're slapping them around and really instilling them with the value of prayer. in if you're an Orthodox Jew, you believe that all souls will eventually come back to Earth, and they will come back into their bodies. That is why Jewish people cannot be cremated.
Oh, right.
Because you're going to need that body when you come back to Earth.
Yeah.
And then you get to live on Earth in the way that God
intended Earth to be.
Exactly.
Back when they did the Garden of Eden.
Exactly. So they have kind of like that Day of Judgment and everything.
Yeah. Like I hope I come back as a hottie. Not my deteriorated bones and the worms and the maggots, but like the hot chick who, you know, wants to reproduce.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if when they come back, they are just like
animated bones.
Bones and dirt and stuff. And they're like,
they're all visceral.
They didn't explain this to me. I just kind of assumed. They're all like zombies.
It's all zombie movies must have been made by Jews.
Well, that's also another episode, isn't it?
Because
according to the people, you know, who live in the South, they probably believe that all zombie movies were, in fact, made by
Jews. Cowboy Jesus and the Zombie Jew. It's one episode where you compare contrast.
Cowboy Jesus and
the Zombie Jew. You juxtapose.
All right.
Yeah. Man, we're fucking smart. That's going to be a hot episode. Hot.
Oh, I can't wait. I wish we were doing it right now. Can you imagine how cool that would be? I'd have something so smart to say about cowboys. I've seen some movies, too.
So, everybody, I think that that wraps up yet another exciting episode of The Ruckus with Rachel and Justin.
All right, so we're going to take off now. That was our guide for you to get to heaven. I hope it was helpful and informative. There are other methods, though, still out there.
Lots
that,
more.
That we did not discuss today, so I implore you, please research all of them and let me know which one is right. Because I'm tired of like wasting my time.
Waking up in cold sweats in the middle of the night.
Right. You know, sacrificing goats, hoping it'll get me somewhere. So, whatever.
According to Anton LaVey, sacrificing a goat won't do anything for you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
But you can have an orgasm. You can sacrifice yourself by having an orgasm. And that will get you magically somewhere.
I'm just waiting for you to say the end part of the show.
I thought you might want to do it for a change.
www.theruckus.wordpress.com is our website. Check it out. Thank you, Von Eva. Thank you to the multiple millions of you who celebrate God in the many different ways, or those of you who do not celebrate God but find yourselves deeply spiritual. Thank you to you also.
And those of you who think there is no God.
And those of you who just don't know.
And those of you who think there may be a God.
Until next time, go start a ruckus.
I'm going to start shoving pins into my eyeballs.
All right. Well, that's the show. We'll make that a video podcast, our first one.